Well, I want to start this morning by actually thinking about, getting you to think about a time when you've really felt cared for. So it might be a long time ago, or it could be just recent. I was actually speaking to Elaine Goff the other day, and she was telling me about a friend who'd been helping her to actually get to hospital while Bruce had been there. She also mentioned another friend who'd been regularly ringing her up and asking how she was going and asking after Bruce. Elaine also mentioned that she received a beautiful handmade card from Dot and how touched she was to receive such a really lovely note. She was telling me how she really felt cared for. So when have you really felt cared for? What was it about that situation that actually made a difference to you? Was it what the person did? Maybe it was unexpected. Was there a sacrifice involved? Was that what made it so special? Or were there many small yet significant acts of kindness? Or maybe it was more about who had offered, the person or the people giving the care. See, I think we all have memories of the times when people have actually cared for us, when we have felt really cared for. There have been people being very thoughtful and kind to us. And whether it was the things that they did for us or just actually being with us, it actually meant a lot to us. And it could have been over a number of years or just at a specific time in our life. In our current situation with the pandemic, the way we care for others is super important. As together we face the threat of the coronavirus and seek to avoid its transmission, particularly here in Sydney at the moment, we're all very aware of our responsibility and how we must be careful in the community. Ironically, one of the ways we show care is by not seeing other people and spending time with them. It's actually keeping our distance from those who are vulnerable and potentially high risk. It's actually the opposite of how we would normally think to care for others. And I think this value of care is even seen in our politicians. And now more than ever, we do actually need our leaders to care for the well-being of the nation. You know, every day at the moment, we hear Daniel Andrews send out his condolences to the family of those who've lost loved ones. And I actually appreciate the fact that he does that. I think that Andrew Cuomo did a great job through the height of peak of the pandemic in New York, recognising and stating out loud how awful the number of the deaths were and acknowledging the many families who are grieving. See, all around the world, the level of care we give to our fellow citizens at the moment is actually under the spotlight. How much we are prepared to do for the sake of others is actually under scrutiny. I think we are all aware how vital it is to care for each other. And so as we start our cause, Ex Facto Month, we explore this theme being a Christ-centered community. We're going to start by considering what it means to be a caregiver, what it meant for the first faith community, and what it means for our faith community. Now, this Bible reading this morning from Acts, you've probably heard quite a few sermons on this, but for the purpose of our Ex Facto study, there's actually two questions I want us to ask as we examine these passages about the early church. The first question is, what type of care was shown in the earliest Christian community? And the second question is, who were the caregivers? See, what I actually noticed about these readings, about that first community that's described in Acts, is that the care was very practical. We observe that some Christians went to great lengths to make sure that everyone was provided for. Assets were sold, so there was enough funds for everyone to have what they needed. As they met daily, both their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs were attended to. It's actually quite an impressive scene. It's quite remarkable. A whole community putting the needs of the community above their own. They're actually not forced to, it wasn't a law, but they willingly gave all their resources so that no one was in need. No one was left out, and it seems that no one was selfish. Now, I have to admit, I'm not sure if Luke was giving a true picture of this first faith community. Was this the reality, or was it a goal of the first Christians? Now, one commentator suggests it may well be that in the first flush of religious enthusiasm, the early church lived this kind of way. Well, whether it's actually 100% true or not, I think the goal was actually spot on. See, the church is a community centred around their Saviour and Lord. We believe that Jesus Christ loved the whole world and came to save all people, So keeping this broad perspective in our thinking is a good thing. We need to remember this no matter what else we may think about the church and what it's become. You know, it is not a charity that hands out Woolworths vouchers or a business for second-hand goods or a service for the government to use. The way we show the love of Christ may flow into these activities, but it doesn't define us. But care and kindness does. See, the PCC, the Pastoral Care Council team at Parramatta Core, has actually a goal for our faith community. We want everyone in the core to be cared for and everyone to be caring. And like the early church, we want every person to see themselves as a caregiver. We recognise that everyone has the capacity to care. Each one of us is able and available in some way to encourage, support, provide and stand alongside others through the ups and downs of life. And it's a goal we want to keep in sight, no matter how well we think we might be doing with it. But I think we're on the right track. A Christ-centered community seeks to include and involve everyone in their daily life, caring and being cared for. Now, without diminishing such an important goal, we also need to be realistic about it. See, it's only a few chapters into the story of Acts, we discover that this first flush of religious enthusiasm didn't stop people from evaluating how the generosity was being shared. A few cracks start to appear in this perfect and pristine community. Someone spoke up and pointed out that the distribution process wasn't working fairly across the community. And this is a community probably by this point that's numbering in the thousands. And of all people, it was the widows who were missing out. The widows, those in the vulnerable category, were not receiving what they should. Now, of course, in our society today, we wouldn't necessarily call widows vulnerable in the same way they did in the first century. Back then, most women were dependent on their husbands or their families to care for them. They were not able to provide for themselves. But we would have a different list of people today who would come under that criteria. The disadvantage in our society right now extends beyond the family culture and is becoming more and more complex in our current demographic with our current economic situation. That aside, every era throughout history has people who fall into that disadvantaged category, people who can be easily overlooked and end up going without, people who are vulnerable. So it's important to know in this case, in Acts 6, that the voice protesting the rights of the widow is heard. The complaint is accepted as valid and something is done about it. Now, on the news this week, among the headlines about the coronavirus, was the outcome of the talks on the Closing the Gap program. So since 2008, reports on this program have outlined the issues relating to our nation's first people. Unfortunately, the targets that have been set in the past have fallen way short. I actually listened to Labor's Linda Burney praise the work that led to these 16 new targets being defined, although she did actually mention some issues had been missed. But what was interesting to me was the significant input of the Indigenous personnel to provide both the information for what needed attention, as well as deciding on the steps ahead to handle the process. See, it makes sense that those who are affected by the program should have a voice to say how they want their situation to change and how that could happen. See, when the complaints were actually raised about the widows, the disciples responded by calling the whole community together, and that included the widows. They joined in solving the issue, coming up with an appropriate and workable plan to remedy the problem. The whole community was then commissioned to find people who would be able to oversee the daily needs of the community. Now, here we see a shift in the way that the community was cared for. This management layer was inserted, and almost a grievance policy was installed. However, this didn't mean that the rest of the community could stop caring and just leave it to the one selected. It didn't mean that all the tasks would now be done by just a few. It wasn't a way out of contributing to the community. See, these men selected to the task of distributing food were to ensure that the process worked. They would oversee what needed to be done and ensure that no one was left out. Everyone in the church was still a caregiver. They would still share what they had with the group. That didn't change. But now there would be people assigned to make sure it worked, finding ways to manage and overcome any further issues that would probably arise. But what I also want us to notice is the criteria for whom was selected for this management role. They were to be of good standing, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Sadly, it was only men. It's a shame they didn't have a few women in there, but we can't go back there. But this role, we see, was actually based on good relationships with other people, as well as a good relationship with God. It was important that each person was someone full of the Spirit. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is actually key in the book of Acts. It was the Holy Spirit who gave the early church the power to preach the good news of Christ. It would be the Holy Spirit who would continue to direct how the Christ community lived together so it could keep on sharing the gospel truth. And the way the community demonstrated the reality of the gospel in their relationships and in the fellowship was then important to how the kingdom would keep on growing. See, the apostles commissioned a team of caregivers to oversee the Christian community, and the first person that's mentioned is a man called Stephen. Now, we hear a bit more about Stephen throughout Acts, but this stage, he's described as being a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, as per the criteria that was laid up for the role. Now, the other six men, they actually don't get the same attention, but we can kind of assume that they were the same. All seven had shown they cared about their community, and there was strong evidence of their commitment to Christ. Now, we weren't told whether all these seven men were present on the day of Pentecost when the followers of Jesus met together and God was revealed in the rushing wind and the tongues of fire. But were they all there? Did they actually witness and experience that day? You know, did they then speak in another language other than their own? Now, I have no biblical evidence to support this, but I'd like to think they were there on Pentecost, that all seven had seen the Holy Spirit come in a very powerful way, that they heard Peter preach, they'd witnessed miracles and signs and wonders, they had joined in the debates against the Jewish leaders, and now they took part in another development in the Christian community, a new stage where they were actually cared to call for the community in a very practical way. See, an experience of the Holy Spirit is important to being a person full of faith. A belief in Christ is endorsed by our experience of His Spirit within us, the Spirit enabling and equipping us to do whatever we are called to do within the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is our power source for caring for each other. The Holy Spirit helps us to be loving, kind, compassionate, and generous. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace and self-control we need when issues arise. The Holy Spirit inspires and prompts us to reach out to those who need our care. The Holy Spirit provides us with the strength and patience we need when caring becomes maybe too hard or too much. We need God's indwelling in our lives to spur us on to good works and to sustain us in the process. See, we began by thinking about a time when we felt really cared for. And of course, we treasure those times. But is it also possible to treasure the times when we care for others? See, sometimes caring can be a joy and a delight. It makes us feel good to help others, whether it's in a practical way or maybe in an emotional or spiritual way. But caring can also be challenging, especially if our care is criticised, when our intentions are judged unfairly, when there's tension due to maybe misunderstanding or miscommunication. See, the early church, like every group of believers today, found it both a blessing and a challenge to live and work alongside each other and to show genuine care. See, life wasn't always rosy. People did clash. There were times when the care factor got low, maybe even down to zero. Issues arose. The early church had to learn how they could reflect the love of their Saviour in the way that they lived with each other. It would be an ongoing process, relying on the Spirit to fuel and fill them so they could remain an authentic faith community. It would be the work of the Holy Spirit in each individual life that would make a difference in the way the whole community cared for each other. And I think it's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit at work in my life and in your life is how together we can achieve the goal of care that permeates the whole community. It is possible when we trust God with the process and allow Him to direct the particulars and apply His word to our circumstances. See, we want to be a community where everyone is being cared for and everyone is caring. And so this morning, let us open ourselves up to the one who cares for us. Let us commit to being caregivers, displaying the love of Christ in our love and care of those who need us. Let us rely on the Holy Spirit to do this for us.